Today is January 27th, 2026. Current Bitcoin price is $89,220.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
Man, oh man, Rick, what were you saying right before we got going? Like, it's a good thing we didn't record a few days earlier.
Yeah. Usually our recordings happen on Sunday. And if we would have recorded Sunday, we would have been, even more stolen than today.
Yeah.
Sunday was just a brutal day for Bitcoin.
It was. It was, I don't know. It's... I hate saying bear market time, but I think it's bear market time.
Nope. And I think we got about a year of this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if I'm being honest, this year has been weird. And so it's like, I can't just say, yeah, for sure, this is a bear market.
Yeah.
I mean, there could be something that pulls us out, but I don't think so. Really? Like, it's heading down. We're getting really lower highs. And lower lows, kind of. I don't know. At least recently.
Yeah. No, I
that's kind of the trend.
That's the trend right now. Is that it's we saw that uptick, and I think we were kind of talking about that before we got recording, where it was. And I think at first we were like, "Oh man, is it Venezuela? Like, what's going on?" And it seemed like it was Venezuela, but I really, this is my gut feeling, and I could be completely wrong on this. I'm not an expert, but I feel like it was probably because the Clarity Act markup was happening at the time. And I think people were trying to do a buy the rumor, sell the news kind of event. And then when that got pushed off after Coinbase walked away,
well,
and it kind of
could have also been. Yeah. Well, it could also been Greenland. I mean, I don't know. Cycles happen and we just kind of write a narrative to see them.
It's always hindsight's 20/20, right?
Yeah.
This is definitively what caused it. But, and I was going to save this for later, but because this is just, I mean, some pretty crazy stuff to see. Silver, right now, as we speak, it's $114 a troy ounce.
Jeez.
What does that tell you? Like, we've never seen silver this price. We've never seen gold where it's at. Gold right now is sitting at $5,226 an ounce.
Yeah.
What does that tell you? Yeah, screaming in your heads? What alarm bells are going off?
Well, one alarm bell that's going off is maybe the central bankers know that there's going to be a war around the corner and they're hodling they're refilling their vaults with gold.
Getting
and
ready.
Everyone else is trying to grab some silver.
Well, and I think there's been some interesting news, like on the silver front. China has actually put some really hardcore capital controls on silver right now, too. They're not letting it leave the country.
Yeah. I'm not. I'm pretty sure there's going to be something similar in America, too.
Yeah.
Actually, you try and leave the air. Try fly somewhere and carry a gold bar with you and see how far you get.
No, that's not.
You might leave the country, but you're not going with that gold bar.
No. Basically, when you look at the macro trends, what they're trying to blame it on is sticky inflation. I hate that term. Rate cut uncertainty, geopolitical risk. And then what I think is probably one of the big things, too, is the industrial demand for silver.
Yep. It is used in a lot of manufacturing of different things.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. And I feel like as this chip kind of thing kind of picks up, then the other thing, too, we're seeing a lot of capital flows, which What's interesting about both the gold market and the silver market, probably in the States, is there's a lot of paper that doesn't, that's not really backed by the silver.
Yep. A lot of paper silver out there.
What's that gonna do to the market is like people are realizing that basically, what is it? Warren Buffett always said that you'll get to find out who's swimming naked, right?
Yep. Yep. When the tide goes out.
It's, and I mean, looking at the charts, like if anybody's looked at the charts lately, silver is basically, and gold, but I mean, more silver is having the kind of parabolic run we would expect from Bitcoin that we haven't seen materialize this year.
Well,
Or
we
last
haven't
year.
seen this cycle, but we've seen it in pretty much every other cycle.
Yeah.
And usually how it ends with Bitcoin, when it's doing that kind of move, it kind of craters at a certain point. But it's hard to say what's happening. It doesn't look healthy. This kind of price movement just looks obscene.
Yeah. Well, and I think
And
people,
I'm not mad at it. I'm not
no,
mad at it because I do have some silver, so.
I'm not mad at it either. And I think it's one of those things where if your dollar has been your world reserve currency and it's getting weaker, fewer and fewer people are using it, your hard assets are going to go up. And I think that really sums up a lot of that.
No, I agree.
So yeah, that's something to keep an eye on. It used to be one of those things you could get silver relatively cheap. And I think it was funny, like I've got some physical silver as well. And I had some I think I was talking about this with you on the one of the episodes that we had done recently. I actually had some silver ETF shares. And I held on to them and I held on to them and I held on to them. They didn't do anything. I was like, yeah, you know what? I offloaded them. I think it was probably towards the first quarter of last year. Man, I wish I would have held on just a little bit longer, but yeah, such is the nature of the beast. That's why Warren Buffett says you don't sell anything, you just buy it and you hold it forever.
Well, unless it was Sears stock or something like that.
Yeah, where companies going belly up. So it's kind of get back to the Bitcoin realm. We do have the crypto market structure bill that's supposed to go in for markup starting on the 29th. This thing's gotten delayed on multiple occasions and gotten kicked down the road. We're looking at this. This is going to be a pretty big event because it looks like we may have a government shutdown as of the 31st again.
Yeah.
So
Man.
basically, what this bill is, and this is different from the Clarity Act, but this is going to define the SEC versus the CFTC's jurisdiction within the crypto framework. For the most part, it's not going to have a very big impact on Bitcoin because Bitcoin is already treated as a commodity and is recognized as such. But this is going to affect your altcoins, basically for the most part.
Basically everything else. So Ethereum, Solana, Cardano, all those.
And I mean, it helps clarify some of that, like I said, but it's not the Clarity Act. The House passed this version last year. The Senate is currently bottlenecked, delayed from weather, politics, and the committee disputes that normally take up. 29th is supposed to be the next markup date. It's still more than likely going to pass this year once they kind of finish doing whatever they're doing. And who knows however long this shutdown takes place, whenever this shutdown happens again. Maybe they'll get something in to get their butts together and get something not shut down, but I'm not holding my breath up for that.
No, well, in the recent one that we just lived through, I would hate to be a federal employee right now.
Oh, I know. What was that, 45
Because,
days?
yeah, it was over 7 weeks.
Yeah. And
And that's the thing, when it shuts down, they don't like most. I think there's just a few like really essential people that stay working, but everyone else gets shut down and they don't get paid that whole time.
yeah. They get their what they're called the furlough, right? Or is the furlough
They
pay?
get furloughed. There is no, well, the furlough gets back paid usually when the shutdown is eventually over. But to be doing like two shutdowns, and I mean, when did the first one start? Like in October?
Yeah. And it went until basically what, middle of November kind of thing?
Yeah.
They got their butt together and then they, now we're going to go through another shutdown again. And I mean,
Hey, maybe that'll be good for get Bitcoin's price again.
it did do, remember?
Because
Because,
that's
yeah,
when
when they
the
shut down, we went up to
0.59 came.
126. Yeah, that's right. So the crazy thing about that is that we still haven't been able to get clear economic data because of the shutdown. Like, it's been a mess. And now it's going to happen again.
Yes.
So, well, and I
You
could be
know,
wrong. Maybe they'll pass
I don't
something.
think Trump's going to complain about that right now.
No, probably not. Fed Reserve meeting, we're supposed to get the notes starting tomorrow. They're likely not to cut rates, even though trueflation, and we were talking about this before the Bitfight podcast began, and trueflation right now is sitting at 1.18%. And it looks like it fell off a cliff ever since December 12th or 14th, right in that ballpark. It went from 2.7, and it's just been trending downwards ever since. So that's not meeting the Fed's target of 2%, which for those of you that may not know, like the Fed doesn't want it to be, well, at least 2%. They want it to be 2%, which how do you feel about that trueflation number of 1.18? Do you think that's true?
I can't disagree with it. I mean, it's still showing prices are going up, just it's not going up at the crazy rate that we've seen, you know, this decade.
Yeah.
And I certain things, you know, they are somewhat cheaper, though food, like especially like beef, is just insanely expensive right now.
Yeah.
Don't know. I'm kind of curious what Trueflation uses as their basket of goods on determining what inflation is. But you know what? I trust their numbers better than I trust the
The Bureau
Bureau
of
of Labor
Labor.
Statistics.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really don't trust them.
So, I mean, it's expected that there's not going to be a rate cut this month. According to them, inflation's still above target. Powell's under scrutiny right now because of Trump and the suit that he's bringing through the DOJ against him. And he's going to emphasize data over politics for sure. The Supreme Court's still trying to decide if they can remove Lisa Cook from the Fed. That's still waiting in the wings. Like the Supreme Court's been really crazy with their delaying any decisions on anything like that right now. We still don't know about the tariffs because that was supposed to be decided on, and they still haven't ruled if those are legal or not. So Trump's also supposed to be naming Powell's successor here pretty soon.
Yeah, we've heard a few different names. We kind of discussed it in a previous episode.
Yeah, I didn't like either
I
one.
mean, yeah, they were both swamp qu creatures, and if they decide to pull out a third one, I'm pretty sure it's going to be more of the same.
Yeah, absolutely. And if did you pay attention at all to the World Economic Forum this last week
I did not.
out of Davos? It was kind of interesting seeing the tone felt slightly different. We know it's still kind of the same BS. It's just the elites kind of getting together and trying to decide, I guess, our fates. I don't know. The weird thing, though, is that if the thing that made it feel different, I think, is because of the new co-head of the WEF is Larry Fink.
Yes.
And so he was much more apt to talk to a lot more people and not just give these weird diatribe speeches like Klaus Schwab would, in his Vader gear with his nipples pierced underneath, I'm sure. But it felt a little bit different. And there was a couple times that people kind of got called out. One guy, and I can't remember who it was, I probably should have looked him up before we started. he told him, you know, we've been getting together like this for quite a long time to help make the world a better place. And by all rights, we haven't done a very good job. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Bitcoin was basically, there was a lot of discussion of Bitcoin there at the WEF, basically because the monetary asset now, it's not speculation. Like there's a lot more professional and industrial buyers that are using Bitcoin. This U.S. Strategic Bitcoin Reserve is gaining momentum. Swift unveiled a blockchain-based settlement network. Shocker. Don't call it a CBDC, though. And then the New York Stock Exchange was talking about tokenized assets going on the blockchain. So you'll be able to buy tokens of your favorite stocks, right? And that'll trade 24/7, 365.
Yeah, I don't know. Bitcoin's kind of my first foray into anything that just trades 24/7. And I have to say, sometimes I'm not really loving it.
It doesn't give you a break. No
It
rest.
does not give you a break. Yeah, if you're paying attention to it, it'll just like keep you up all night. I mean, you were the first victim of it, and then I fell into it shortly afterwards. Thanks, Hans.
Well, and it was crazy because it was, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, like Bitcoin was always felt like winning the lottery, but in slow motion, and like everything was always, it was always so painful. You'd see these swings up, swings down. And I think you've gotten there, like you're getting more jaded. I've definitely gotten more jaded. I don't know. You know what the thing I think is interesting about this whole thing with the World Economic Forum? I have a feeling, you know, we've talked about the Bretton Woods Agreement in the past, and probably a long time ago in the past. I have a feeling they've already decided what this next framework is going to be for this new world order, because there's a lot of discussion about a new world order coming into play. I think they've already decided kind of how it's going to play out, and now it's just a matter of moving the pieces of the chessboard into place. Does that make sense? Do I sound too tinfoil hat saying
Hey, I'm breaking out my tinfoil right now.
that? Like I really think that they've made the decisions that what the how this is going to work, basically, I think is my sense of things. You know, is it going to be like a dollar currency? Is it going to be, you know, is it going to be a some sort of a CBDC, which I kind of have a feeling that they're going to really try and push towards. You know, they're going to call it an end to globalization, but it's going to become something else. And what is that going to be? I think they've already decided that. They've just got to move. They've already made the decision. They just got to move the pieces on the chessboard into place at this point.
Yeah.
There was meetings behind
I mean,
closed
I
doors, and
do.
we weren't invited. That's basically, I think, what it comes down to.
Yeah, it's a big club, and you ain't in it.
Absolutely. It is a big club, and we are not in it.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's kind of my feeling from this whole thing. And now with what we're seeing with gold and silver, and you know what? We totally blew by this. We're going to have to do this now. Theoreticals. Did we already go over them?
We did not go over
We
them.
didn't go over them. We didn't go over the ETF flows. We went right into silver right away. Theoreticals, man. All right, we're going to have to wrap this up with those. So what do we have for the theoreticals for those that have been paying attention to those?
Okay, so theoreticals have been taking a beating, obviously. We were kind of getting a little bit stoked last week. So, first theoretical purchased back in October 2023, $3,000 could have netted you 0.0885 Bitcoin. And that value from $3,000 is still doing good. I mean, 7,896. That's pretty good still.
Yeah,
The second
that's still a
theoretical.
good one, man. That's still over double.
It's well over double. Now, the second theoretical purchase right at the halving in April of 2024. Usually that pays off pretty well. This cycle, we've not seen quite the same returns. I mean, it's still doing well. So $1,000 would have netted you 0.01564. And that $1,000 purchase is now worth 1,395. So it's still up almost 40%, but it's getting rough.
Look at this.
At a certain point, I mean, if this, I mean, we kind of are glum at the beginning of this episode. Is this going to be the bear market? I mean, is that worth stepping into? Because to me, it seems like it would be time to unload that one. And I don't know.
Yeah. And, well, and wait to buy back in. I think that I still think I would be shocked if we get down to parity for the October purchase of 2023. Because that would have been right around that 69 mark, right? Or less. That was 30,000.
It was like, no, it was like 37,000 roughly.
Yeah. I think that one is going to be like a primo buy. Like, I don't think we'll ever go underwater on that one.
You know what though? We in the previous cycle, we saw the price go from at a high of 69,000.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
All the way down to 15.
Yeah.
And we've seen the price not really double. I mean, saw it go to 126. And if it were to go back down, I could see it touching $30,000 at the lowest of the lows.
I don't think we'll get down that far.
I hope we don't.
I agree. I would say, like, if we go low, I think the lowest we'll go is 50.
50.
Yeah. That's my personal opinion, because I go back to typically you don't see it go much below. And obviously last cycle was a little bit different because we did go down to the 15 that you were talking about, but that was after a previous high of 21. And then we crashed all the way down to 3,000, came back up to the 69, came back down to 15. I don't think going from, basically, you know, breaking through the barn doors of 69,000, getting up to 126, I don't think we'll get down to like 50. That's where I'm like 50, I think, is our minimum. But I could be wrong, obviously. I don't think we'll see it down to 30 again.
Yeah. And that's what scares me. I mean, about the ETFs, we don't really know if this is a bear market.
Yeah.
Which we're not saying it is. We're just kind of, it's looking like a bear market, smelling like a bear market. Probably is, but we've never experienced a bear market with the ETFs.
Yeah.
And how are they going to handle it?
Well, and that was something. Yeah, that was something I wanted to kind of touch on too, because we didn't touch on the ETFs. Normally we do. And we have a sea of red again. Like we were starting to see some good black, but it looks like it's just there's sell off after sell off. And BlackRock is selling a bunch of it.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, the crazy thing, though, is that I think they've still overall been accumulating. I mean, if you look at the totals at the bottom, the only one is Grayscale. And I still don't even understand how they have Bitcoin left. But, and you're right. I don't know what's going to happen with ETFs this time. Is that going to be the cushion? Is that what our, like, are we stuck in a molasses? Is that why we're not seeing the crazy blow-off tops and the hard corrections than we normally see?
I don't know. I mean, that's the hope, but maybe they exacerbate it. You know, maybe they make it so much worse.
Yeah. Prolonged. Burned out. I don't know.
Deeper. Who knows?
Yeah.
It's going to be a heck of a ride. It's an interesting time to be alive.
So, question for you, if you had dry powder to buy Bitcoin, when would you buy? Would you ladder buys? What would you do right now?
Well, let's say you you had a few, you know, every month you could put aside, I don't know, just say 100, 200 bucks. That's what I would do. I mean, dollar cost average. Just because you don't know which direction the market's going to go. I mean, a lot of traders I know they try and wait out the bear market, wait until sometime early 2027 to start accumulating. Maybe that's the smart move, but I think buying and holding is the smartest move, because You just don't know what's going to happen to the dollar in the near term. Maybe it completely just disappears.
The
Maybe
thing,
they bring in the CBDCs at that point.
oh God, the thing that blows my mind is that if we look at this and we think about this objectively, we'd be looking at, is it this October would be the relative time to buy like we did in the October purchase from the previous one, or would we be one more year still? Like if we're looking at the cycle, like when you would purchase that 0.0885.
We were coming out of the cycle. We had been through the worst of the FTX collapse. That was probably 2022. And then we kind of rode out of it a little bit.
So
It didn't quite
it
die,
wouldn't
but
be it would be October 2027 would be the kind of the mirror image of when you would buy that in that October time frame again.
in your 4 year window, yeah. Though granted, we could have probably purchased it in March of 2023. And got Bitcoin somewhere around, that was after the Silicon Valley bankruptcy.
In that 15,000 to 18,000 range.
Yeah, it went from 20,000. It was trading at 20 for a long time, and in that move, it jumped to 30, and it kind of bounced between 25 and 30.
Yeah.
So really, I mean, if you could time it. It would be like March 2027 or before that, even January 2027 is really the time to buy.
Yeah. And then I
That's
go,
before your cycle.
that's if the 4 year cycle holds now. And I think that's what kind of Rick was getting at with the dollar cost averaging is that you can always buy smaller amounts, and if you spread that out over time, you absorb the peaks and the valleys, and it kind of averages out your purchase price.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Always good to keep in mind.
Well, I think we need to do another type of purchase or kind of a historical thing is it'd be interesting to look at what the price was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
5 years ago today, what was the price?
Yeah,
Because it's always much lower than today.
I still think like people when they would have gotten their stimulus checks, if they would have bought Bitcoin with that, like I think that's always an interesting one to see.
Well, and the stimulus checks were coming up on the 5 year anniversary of that. Right. Was it
Yep.
like March 2021 when Biden got into office and kind of
Started
gave
handing out
everyone a
money.
direct deposit?
I think so.
He made it rain.
Made it rain, that helicopter cash. I don't know, man. It's crazy times. That's all I can say. A lot of wild stuff going on. But we'll keep you posted on what we got and what we find. And we thank you all for joining us on this stuff. Is there anything else you wanted to bring up tonight?
That's it for me.
That's it for me too. Thank you for joining us on this journey. And always, if you're going to go into self-sovereignty, get yourself a hardware wallet, do your own self-custody. You don't want to keep it on exchanges. And that's probably true of your silver and your gold too. You don't want to buy just the paper. You want I mean, as close to the physical commodity as you can. With Bitcoin, it's got to be on a hardware wallet. So thank you for listening.
Right.